Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson will be Psalm 133, and that will be on Pew Bible page 502. Let us hear God's word. A song of ascents. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. Our next scripture comes from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. And that will be on Pew Bible page 884. Let us listen to God's word. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possession, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, your word lights our path, guides our hearts. It guides us to serve. It calls us to be better and be more as servants of our God. As your word leads us, guides us, and keeps us, may it also change us, transform us, and convict us. May it lead us forth to be better servants of our God. Gracious God, open our minds and hearts to your word this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. This is the church. Now, when I'm really in a point of true honesty, I love looking at the early church. There's this nerdy part of me that really likes to examine the pieces and parts, the details, all the way from where the early church used to meet, catacombs, to why they moved into buildings that were holier places, churches, the actual building. What makes up a church? The body, the building, what is it? And where does that happen? Now, there are also parts that we need to pay a little bit of attention and have a lot of grace when we look. And let me parse that part out. It's easy to look at the early church and just kick back and say, boy, that sounds really amazing. Why aren't we like that? And not do justice to the fact and parts and part just the moving pieces that make them who they are and us who we are as the different bodies of Christ. The early church, when it started, when the early church began, to compare us to them is really unfair to both of us. When you think about it, who was the early church modeled after? That first church, who was it modeled after? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? No one! They made it up as they went. They weren't setting anything really up. That they didn't, sure, they took pieces and parts from their former faith, But for the most part, the parts of their worship were being made up. How they lived out being the body of Christ was made up. And there's this beautiful and wonderful permission-giving aspect that the early church, the early congregation, gave to its leadership. There had been no one doing these things before. I remember a former supervisor at one of my internships in seminary. He decided to preach a sermon series on these early church versions in Acts. And he constantly was making an assessment of that church. And why aren't we like this one? Why aren't we like the one in Acts? And there was a bristling response in the congregation. When we examine the early church, we need to take an approach of grace, both for ourselves, but also for them, to allow us to grow into what we can be. Allow them to be the best church that they are, as well as us. Anytime we look at churches and compare, it can be dangerous ground, because we have to understand, what is the end goal of the comparison? Is it so that we can be the best version of God's church here at 11 Main Street that we can be? Or are we trying to be something that we're not? It's the age-old know thyself. Know who we are and what we are. The hardest part of this process to consider and look at where and what we are. We can't be the high school quarterback that fumbles the ball a couple of times a game and couldn't hit the broadside of a barn who thinks they're going to the NFL. But we can be the best that we can be. Now, accepting who we are as God's worshiping body, wherever we are, means accepting where we are, where we could be, and where God wants us to be. Looking at that. Now, going back to my mentor, I remember hearing under someone's breath a few seats over the comment made when the question was asked, why isn't our church growing like the church in Acts 2? Acts 2:47 says, day by day the Lord added to their number those being saved. Why aren't we growing like that? And the snarky comment comes, because you're not Peter. That is how we respond often to comparisons, to these unfair judgments that we make between looking back, looking forward, and living into where God is calling us to be and what God is calling us to be. That snarky response is a direct response, a direct pushback to someone who was beating the congregation down about who they weren't, instead of praising who they were and encouraging who they might be. You see where these comparisons can go very, very awry. It creates a defensive pushback, a defensive response. I remember many years back, when Liam was learning to play baseball. Now, I'm a righty, he's a lefty when he plays sports. And I'm trying to tell him, all right, you gotta remember, you gotta crowd the plate, you gotta get your arms, keep that bat moving and get it ready, and you just gotta kind of, and get your whole body into the swing. Dad, I know. Okay, then show me. And he showed me. And every time I tried my best to get him there, He is pushing back just as hard about the fact that he had watched me play softball the night before and my swing was not exactly what I wanted his to be and all of that. And the big crowning moment was when I said, "You got to wait for your pitch, Liam. You can't just swing at everything." Well, when you're out there in softball, you don't wait. Yeah, guilty. Defensive response, check. Now, that doesn't mean that the original intent was set and was guaranteed to get pushback, but it was also how the soil was ready. Is the soil ready to hear an encouraging message? One that is that bit of cold water of, hey, you really can't get the ball down the field. Maybe you shouldn't play quarterback. What is the ground when we talk about what we can be and who we are as the church? So what is our relationship with the early church? Is it this ideal that we look at and we seek to live into? Well, in some ways we can't fully do that because the early church had its problems too. If you keep on reading in Acts 4, there will be a problem. Not everybody falls in line. Not everybody plays well with others. Do we treat it just as a piece of nostalgia and just say, oh, isn't that cute? The older church. So great. Moving on. We have to figure out what our relationship is with the church as it was. Both the church as it was for us here, but the church universal as it is. A few things that we know about this. The early church was making it up as they went. They were kind of figuring out what parts were best for worship. Worship as it was looked however they wanted, however they chose. Everything was unknown and unfamiliar, and to a certain extent, that had to have been a level of chaos that drove people nuts. So, what's our order of worship this week? We don't know. Personally, as a minister who likes ducks in a row, not necessarily the person who every minute of every worship service is planned out and set out, and this part of worship takes this number of minutes, but I like my organization of the bulletin. That must have driven some people mad. But the other part is, what do you do for music? Do you sing hymns? Do you create your own hymns? What do you do? Do you change the psalms? What do you do? There's no hymnary at this point. No real set music outside of the psalms. A sermon, what does that look like? They're making it up as they go, and no one knows what it is. It's this beautiful, almost laboratory sort of piece where worship is growing and becoming something. And that's beautiful. But how do we compare our own worship, our own idea about being the body of Christ, when we're not making it up? Are we? I mean, most services are pretty format the same and that. You kind of know what we're doing when we're doing. But what do we do? What do we do, and how do we relate to the early church as a whole? To embrace what we can. Can we embrace that laboratory feel of worship? I don't know about you, but there's a level of blood pressure raising that would just not be okay for me. To go in and just say, we're going to kind of free flow worship. Like a freestyle rap. We're going to just kind of go as it goes. You want to see my hairline just kind of go. quick, we'll do that. But what is the best version of that church? That is, in many ways, the best version they were going to be. And that causes us to ask the question of what is the best version of our church that we can be? What is the best version of whatever congregation? How is a church of 10 people able to live out and be its best version? Can they mimic the huge megachurch? No. But they can live and serve and be God's people as best they can. They might not have or need 3 services for those 10 people. The whole thing boils down to that early statement, those early words. Their heart and soul was as one. They were unified and central in purpose to love and serve God. Central in purpose to love and serve God. Does that mean we always agree about this, that, or the other? Does it mean we always agree about the hymns we like, the particular scriptures we enjoy reading? No. But it means we are universal in our service and love of God to heal what we can, to bring healing in our community, to serve our community, to be God's people, His church, here at 11 Main Street in Hurley. We don't have to agree about everything. We don't even have to agree and vote the same, say in a consistory meeting or in whatever committee meeting we are at. One of the biggest and most impressive pieces of faith I've ever seen was an elder I had at my church in Illinois named Ace Walter. Now, Ace didn't have a college degree, but Caterpillar, hired him as a systems engineer. What that means is Caterpillar decided that Ace was brilliant enough that he could look at any system in the various Caterpillar factories and find what I would call choke points, points of problems. Too many people in one area, not enough, and he would literally look at these systems day to day, week to week, for his whole time at Caterpillar. But that didn't impress me as much as what he did as he served on consistory. Because if he disagreed with someone, if he argued with them left, right, and sideways, if he was in the minority of any vote or position, his next question is, all right, how are we going to get this done? Anytime, his focus was not on, oh, I didn't get my way. His focus was, how are we going to serve God in this decision that we've made? He was willing to put what he wanted aside for the greater good of the congregation. His willingness to set aside his particular direction he wanted for the greater direction of what the rest of the body of Christ in that particular place wanted will always amaze me. But it's that ethos, right? It's that ethos of together in purpose. You don't have to agree with me about the book of Kings and Samuel being some of the greatest reading in Scripture. Matter of fact, you probably don't. But we can agree in that centrality of message. That centrality of God calling us to serve our community. Calling us to serve, to bind up the brokenhearted around us. To care for one another. It's really beautiful when God's church is able to come together and not necessarily agree about everything, but agree about that one thing, that love of God and the desire to serve. Then there's the other piece for us to look at here. The question of need. Needs are one of those very basic pieces of life and being. How we meet our needs is where we usually fall into different areas. Central, of course, is the needs. Now, I tend to think differently about needs. I categorize them in Marshall Rosenberg's area of needs and strategies. Categories of need are essentially sustenance, safety, love, understanding and empathy, creativity, recreation, and a sense of belonging, autonomy, and meaning. All of those pieces are our basic needs. Our needs fall under those categories. But we can't confuse needs with wants. When Scripture says that all of God's people needed nothing, were not in need, that doesn't mean that some didn't have this, that, or the other. Some didn't have other things. It meant that no one needed anything. Which ties us into the fact that this church, this early church, shared. They shared with one another. What was mine was yours. You could just show up and borrow something. If you needed help with something, I got you. I mean, no offense, I'm pretty proud of you guys. That's you. You guys look out for one another. You care for one another. You share with one another. Property is in common to one another. Needs get met. The body of Christ gets, interestingly enough, fed. It's pretty awesome when we see the body of Christ moving from that place of where we are to that future God knows we can reach. That image of who we are that God hopes we can make it to. That image that God prefers for us. So what do we do with the image, the idea of the early church? Do we poo-poo it as an example where the Spirit and everything was just in the right place at the right time, and we will never recreate it? Do we compare ourselves to it in a situational piece where we will never measure up to it? Or do we read about the Spirit, that central Spirit, that central ethos of the early church, where they were one in purpose as they sought to serve God and one another. Brothers and sisters, may that be our lesson today and tomorrow. That we are called by God to be His church. He has an ideal future for us. And we are living into it every day. Let us live into being the body of Christ today, tomorrow, and every day. Amen.